by the way, Brother Paul, I am Pauline, and did you know that the Bible talks about our ministry in Florida? The Apostle Paul said he was caught up into paradise. Well, I've been in South Florida, and I drove up to Central Florida. Let's look again into the book of Philippians chapter 3 for a few moments as we focus our attention in this hour and a half together in about time future. We have looked about time past. We have looked at the but now. But what's going to come in regard to the ministry of the Berean Bible Society and your ministry? In Philippians chapter 3, remember in verse 12, in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." In the 2008 Olympics, a man by the name of Brian Clay represented the United States in the decathlon, which is one of those grueling races that involves high hurdles, high jump, just a whole scad of different things. 10 separate events. And going into the last race, he was so far ahead in points that he could actually have almost literally walked instead of run in that last race and won the decathlon, which he did. And an interviewer afterwards asked him, he said, "When did you know that you were assured the victory and the gold medal?" And he said, "Actually, it was when I was about 10 feet away from the finish line." Now, there's something for you and I to learn from all of that. We have looked to see how the Lord has used the Berean Bible Society and its efforts in the past, from its meager beginnings to even where it is in the present. But we have not yet attained unto the prize. We're not yet in glory. There are things yet for you and for me, and certainly for the Berean Bible Society to do in order to achieve the finish of the race as God would have us finish it, and to be able to achieve that prize that we all would be racing for. The Christian life in general is much like a race. Paul likens it to that in the Scriptures. And with the principles in mind that we are going to look at in the book of Philippians, all of us, and the Berean Bible Society is going to seek in months and years ahead, if the Lord doesn't come back for us soon, to look at the principles and to govern ourselves by the principles that we find here in the book of Philippians so that we continue to go forward. There are three principles, to boil it down into a simplistic understanding for us as to what needs to govern us individually and in the Berean Bible Society. I want you to notice in verse 12 he says, "But not as though I had already attained or either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that way I may apprehend for that which I am apprehended of Christ." You see, as the Apostle Paul looked at his life and his ministry, he remained dissatisfied and still hungry. Now, we're not talking about having a bad attitude. We're talking instead about not being satisfied with one's spiritual growth, or with the work that one has accomplished, or the knowledge of Scripture that one has contained, or the present amount of eternal rewards that we have already earned. Wouldn't it be a sad state of affairs if the Berean Bible Society, instead of just giving the staff off on Monday, just said, "Don't bother to come in except Callie for you in the mail room, that's all the more work that we're going to do for the Lord"? Wouldn't that be tragic? And that's not the mindset that we have at the Berean Bible Society. The mindset is that while we're so thankful for what God has enabled us to do and what He is enabling us to do, we are still hungry to do more. We're still hungry to see more souls saved. We're still hungry to see another one and another one and another one come to the full knowledge of the mystery. And hosts of people come to a greater knowledge of the Word of God. And for the Lord to use us to His glory. Amen? Isn't that what you want out of the Berean Bible Society? Amen? Isn't that what you want out of yourself? That needs to be our mindset. Excuse me for the technical difficulty here. They couldn't get my computer to work, so I'm using Kevin's computer, and it's entirely different than my own, so bear with me. For any believer and for any Christian ministry and organization that has been around a while, or believers who have been around a while, there is a danger for believers to become somewhat satisfied with where they are, with what they know, with what they've done for Christ, and then to become stagnant in their Christian walk and service. I would bet that if we would go around the room here and we would talk with people, and if we were really honest with one another, we would say, you know, that is a tendency that I fight. I have already fought a good fight. It's time for the younger people to do their work now. But it's not, I have often said, and I said in a conference in Oregon here a number of months back, I said, if you're still breathing, you're still in the Lord's army and need to be working for Him. Amen? And if the Lord hasn't come back for us yet and there's still time, we need to be working for Christ and being able to achieve goals that will be to the honor of His glory. Now, Paul said, not as though I had already attained or were already perfect. Now, think about what had already transpired in the Apostle Paul's ministry when he writes these words. He had already read and led, no doubt, hundreds of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no doubt walked hundreds of miles in ministry and sailed and traveled thousands of miles. And he had established local churches in different places. And he had gone back and edified them. He had gone back to different churches and corrected different problems. This was the book of Philippians. Was later in his ministry, and the time of his departure was getting close at hand. And Paul says, in spite of all those accomplishments that the Lord had used him to do, he said, not as though I've already attained. I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't arrived. I haven't arrived even at the finish line of my ministry, and I need to continue to go on. In fact, if I'm not even mature or complete as I want to. You know, we as believers should always be growing to a greater maturity in Christ, shouldn't we? And I think that's the mindset and the attitude that the Apostle Paul took. And in humility, he realized that he still needed to grow and to become a better image of the Lord Jesus Christ and a better ambassador of Him. Now, he knew that even though he had been imprisoned, and he knew that his life was in jeopardy, he knew he had been, according to chapter 1, he had apparently received information for revelation from the Lord that he was going to abide and continue for the purpose of further ministering to the Philippians. So he knew that his work for Christ was not yet done. Staff, our work for the Lord is not yet done. Brothers and sisters, our work for the Lord is not yet done. We will always appreciate, my wife and I, a couple by the name of Jim and Eleanor Davis, who ministered in their latter years in Orlando, Florida, in a Christian boys' home. Jim was a farmer from the state of Illinois who had become almost paralyzed with polio. And I don't even know how he could have ever gotten up on a tractor seat. He was that disabled. And yet he did, and he farmed with assistance, and they retired. And when we met them, they were about the age of 75 when they moved down there, and they spent their last 10 or 12 years serving the Lord every day, ministering to those kids and giving them the gospel and giving them love and talking to them about the scriptures. And they realized that their work for the Lord was not yet done. And that's the mindset that the Apostle Paul had, and that you and I need to have. We need to remain hungry for new opportunities, for new goals, for new victories to be won, for growth in one's life. And he was not satisfied with his own spiritual condition or the amount of service behind him. There was more to be done. And Paul goes on and says, "But I follow after that which I may apprehend, for which I was apprehended of Christ." For what purpose was the Apostle Paul apprehended on the road to Damascus? He was apprehended for the purpose of being God's primary ambassador of grace. The Apostle of Grace. The one through whom the Scriptures were going to be completed as he wrote different books. The one who was going to relate the mystery to other people who could relate it to others. The one who would channel and direct and guide that early church into a fashion that it could really be solid and God's truth would be laid as the foundation. And he was motivated by that ministry that God had given him. And he was striving to complete that purpose in life for which he had been saved. It is the purpose of the Berean Bible Society to still be motivated, to still be striving. And what was that that Kevin said? Oh, we're just getting a good start here. 75 years, if the Lord hasn't come back in another 75 years, we're just getting started, aren't we? And that needs to be our mindset. The purpose for which God raised up the Berean Bible Society and other ministries is to be a lighthouse, proclaiming the gospel of the grace of God and the word rightly divided. And that's our purpose. And that's our mission. And we need to continue to be hungry for that. Paul knew that God had chosen him to bear the name of Christ before the Gentiles. What a marvelous message that is. That now the door of faith is open unto the Gentiles, and that not only people of poor estate, but kings and the children of Israel, anyone can be saved. God can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen? And there isn't a person you'll ever see who can't be saved and doesn't need salvation. We've got a job to do, and that job is to reach other people. I'm often reminded and convicted myself when I read in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and he talks about those who have not the knowledge of Christ, and he says, "I speak this to your shame." And you and I need to not be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ because we didn't open our mouths boldly. We need to catch fire with a vision. We need to be filling our pockets with gospel tracts. We need to be engaged in every outreach that we can to reach others for Christ. Amen. As the sergeant on Gomer Pyle in the 60s used to say, "I can hear you." Amen. We need to be soul winners for Christ. Paul had a continued heaviness and sorrow in his heart for lost people who were headed for eternal punishment. Do you know what? We need to get to the point where when we go out into a restaurant and a grocery store and we see our neighbors, that we don't just see a face or maybe even somebody that irritates us. We see a soul that is going to spend eternity in either hell, in eternal punishment where there is never any relief, or we see a brother in Christ or sister in Christ who has been saved. And we need to catch an urgency of the fact that eternity is real and hell is real. And God has given you and me the message, the only message that will save souls from eternal destruction. Amen? And the Apostle Paul had that. He wanted to see more people saved. He wasn't resting on his laurels. He knew there was more to be done. And he wanted to help all men see what was the fellowship of the mystery. He was constantly going about. I was That was so encouraging to hear Kevin talk about the searchlights left in the bathrooms and in the doctor's offices and so on. And that's the way all of us need to be. We need to be getting the word out. You see, Paul's purpose in life was to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wasn't satisfied to live any other way. I often ask people, well, you know, you're getting about so and such, such and such an age, and you're thinking about retirement. And I have absolutely nothing against retirement. Lord, I have absolutely nothing against retirement. But, you know, I have to say, from a personal standpoint of view, while I may want to slow down a little bit, I don't ever want to stop serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't ever want to stop being active in ministry on a regular basis. I don't mean someday I'm going to get back around to it. I mean all the time I want to be actively involved in doing some aspect of ministry. Even if I can't fill the pulpit anymore, there are different things that I want to be able to do. And we need to encourage one another along those lines. The purpose of the Berean Bible Society is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And to see souls saved as we present the gospel, as we have gospel tracts that we provide people with and others, and to help others come to a knowledge of the mystery and greater godliness and a greater understanding of the Word of God. Warren Wiersbe writes in one of his books the story of a salesman who came out of a manager's office with an expression on his face that was so sad and so dismal it almost wilted the flowers on the desk of the secretary. So the secretary stopped and she said, "Bill, what's the matter? Did you get fired?" And he said, "No, but the manager sure lit into me again." And so Bill left, and later on, the secretary got alone with the manager and she said, "Tell me, what was the matter with the situation with Bill?" And the manager said, "Oh, Bill is a good salesman. I would not want to lose Bill. Bill is usually very productive, but he tends to rest on his laurels, and every once in a while you gotta stir him up, Ricky, or else he's not doing anything. He's not making any sales. So I stir the fire every once in a while and get him going. I goad him." You know, dear believer, you and I must not rest on our laurels, and some of you don't even know what this graphic means. But you need to stop resting on your laurels if you've served Christ in the past, and you need to get back into battle. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Staying focused on God's purpose for your life. God's purpose for your life is not a fishing boat or a hunting boat or a cabin or any. God's purpose is to use you to His glory to further the cause of Christ. Amen. That's God's purpose for your life. Now, God gives us richly all things to enjoy, and we can enjoy a few things. I do like chocolate and ice cream and football and a few other things. But never stop serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay somewhat dissatisfied with what you've done so far and hungry for more. The second principle we want to look at is the Apostle Paul was also single-minded. He said, "This one thing I do." That was the ministry of being the Apostle of Grace. You know, it is easy for believers to stay too preoccupied with too many things and then become weighted down and largely unproductive. The Apostle Paul did not make that mistake, in spite of the fact that the Apostle Paul was a writer and that he was a preacher and he was a trainer or a mentor for others. The Apostle did one thing. He was furthering the cause of Christ. And that's what he stayed for. That's what he lived for, was to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The secret to success, even in business, but in the business of the Lord, is to stay so focused on one primary thing, even if there are different integral levels in that aspect. And to get very good at doing it and keep doing so. By the way, don't you think that Christine and Kevin have become very good at making that searchlight look first class? And don't you think Paul and Ricky have gotten very good at writing quality content in that searchlight? Amen? This one thing I do. We stay focused on those things. Like a doctor who specializes in a certain kind of medicine. And they focus on that, then they become very, very good at what they do in that primary aspect of functions. D.L. Moody was an example. He chose to focus on evangelism. And he let others do missions or rescue missions or orphanages or schools or other different things. He stayed focused and he made his main thing. And he became very, very good at it. Paul, the Apostle Paul, also stayed focused on this one thing, serving the Lord Jesus Christ as the Apostle of grace and helping all men see the gospel of the grace of God and see the full knowledge of the mystery. He had focus. He followed one course until successful, and he followed that course until he was taken home. Paul didn't focus on trying to fix all the social or the political ills of his day. You know what? If the Apostle Paul were here today, I really doubt that he would be picketing abortion clinics. I really doubt that he would be going to different political conventions to represent a certain party. I really doubt that he would be distracted in humanitarian efforts. The lost people do all of those things and can do them. But only the saved people can focus on the ministry of furthering the cause of Christ, and only grace people can promote the word rightly divided and help a pure gospel be presented and the pure right division of God's word to be embedded in the souls. Amen. We need to stay focused on the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in this fashion and to be single-minded on that. Paul said he was forgetting those things which are behind. Doug Cox, do you appreciate that graphic? I believe that this meant that he forgot about both his failures and his successes. Not that he tried to wipe the slate out of his mind, but that was not his focus. He wasn't looking behind and saying, well, you know, I did this and this and this and this. I'm really pretty good, aren't I? No, he didn't do that. Nor did he look back and say, I'm the filthiest, rottenest sinner there's ever been. I did this and I did this. How could God use somebody like me? He forgot about those things. It's a little bit, if you will, like a quarterback. Have any of you ever heard of the Green Bay Packers? The Green Bay Packers used to have a tremendous quarterback here, and he threw the most interceptions of anybody. Who was that guy? What was his name? Brett Favre. But he also threw an awful lot of touchdown passes and completions. And the old saying in football is a quarterback's got to have a short memory. And just keep pushing towards the goal of winning that game. Paul chose to forget about his circumcision, his heritage, his observance of the law, his elevation to power within the Judaism, and even to forget maybe about the position and certainly about his past of persecution. Had Paul continued to focus on those past problems that he had and be influenced by those past failures and sins, he would have become paralyzed and unproductive as God's instrument. Aren't you glad he didn't do that? Aren't you glad the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind? Forgetting them. No wonder so many believers, some of us, stumble over our past and remain unproductive in the gully of despair and despondency because we're focused on a past that we need to forget and to move on. Don't be chained by the past if you have failed the Lord miserably in some way, even with some horrendous sin or series of sin. Don't be paralyzed by that. It will cause you to fall into much harm and unproductivity. Paul forgot those things, and you need to forget them. But I think it also meant that he was no longer influenced by it or brought under its power. If you've been haunted or hampered by some terrible failure of the past, move on and embrace God's complete forgiveness. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he chose to think on those things that gave God praise. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, lovely, pure, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. And so he stayed single-minded in living for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he pressed on into productivity. And in order to move on in ministry, I believe he also forgot those past successes and he didn't dwell on those. God had used him to do a great deal for the cause of Christ. But if you just focus on those things, it's easy to become lazy in ministry or proud and puffed up for what you have done. And satisfied that you've arrived and satisfied that you've done enough. It's somebody else's turn. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that through the years. You know, it's time for the younger folks to do it now. It's their turn. It's my turn now to just have fun. Have a little fun, but have fun working for Christ and stay involved in the ministry. These are all responses to the flesh. And the Lord would have us keep looking forward for opportunities to serve Him and to earn eternal rewards. I am thankful that the Berean Bible Society has not been lulled to sleep by past successes, and there have been many. The literature has been great. And the conferences have been great. And the counseling and the correspondence and the friendships have been great. But instead, the purpose of the BBS is to stay single-minded on putting out good literature and good conferences and encourage the saints and seek to see lost people saved. We're not going to rest on those laurels. We're not going to be lulled to sleep by past success or paralyzed by past failures of sin. Instead, we are going to stay awake like a good soldier on watch until Christ returns for us. Our purpose is when Christ comes back, that the Berean Bible Society will be found faithful. Faithfully serving. Aggressively going forward and serving Him. In 1983 in Australia, they hosted what is called the Ultra Marathon, a 573.7-mile foot race from Sydney to Melbourne. It takes days to run it, and even professional runners drop out and cannot complete the race because the rigors of it are just too bad. In that year, a 61-year-old farmer named Cliff Young tried to enter the race. This is an actual picture of him, wearing overalls and galoshes over his farm boots. When he went up to the registration table, they thought it was a joke, and they wouldn't register him at first, but he was persistent. And so they allowed him to register for it. And do you know that this 61-year-old goofy farmer that once the race began had an awkward shuffle in his gait that he won the race? Do you know why? Do you know how? Because for 573 miles, he never stopped running. He may have altered his pace. He may have slowed down. And while others, even professional runners, would stop and sleep and eat and rest, Cliff just kept unplugging. And that's what every believer needs to do. And that's what the Berean Bible Society needs to do, is just keep on running the Christian race of service. To be focused, to be single-minded, and to remember that it will pay off in eternity if we don't sleep, but we just keep running and working the race. Third, and the last thing that we want to bring to your attention, is that the Apostle Paul was pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, according to Philippians chapter 3. You know, a mark is an object at a distance that one is aimed at. Whether you're shooting a gun or you're running a race, if you'll notice even those sprinters when they get down in the 100-meter dash and then they look up, they're looking at the finish line. And there's a mark that they're looking at. It's the tape at the end of the race. The tape for you and I is to get to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ when our task is done. The mark is an object to strive toward. The prize is alluded to. In Paul's day, it was a garland or a crown that the Olympians would wear, and if they won, that they would receive. And it would fade and wouldn't look very pretty after a day or two. But the award that you and I can be given when we run the race with steadiness and endurance and faithfulness will never fade. Will last for all eternity. The high calling of God means an upward, heavenly call. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, that guy is so stuck up, because there's nose so far in the air that if it rained, they would drown? Well, in a good sense, that's the way that every believer should be, in a sense. We should be mentally, heart-wise, always looking up for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and ready to go and be with Him. Because it's a high calling. It's a glorious calling. And we will be taken up on high. It is a wonderful expectation that we are one day going to arrive in the heavens to a new body without aches and pains. To only the new nature, the old nature eradicated. Free to worship the Lord in harmony and beauty and love forever and ever. Won't that be great? And we need to be looking for that in a wonderful, with a wonderful heart full of love and expectation. Proverbs 15 says, the way of life is above to the wise. And we're wise if that's what we're looking for. Paul wisely lived, reaching forth to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But what was he specifically reaching for? It was to become more conformed to the image of Christ every day, according to Romans 8:29. Or to become more Christ-like, or a better ambassador, or a better representative of the Lord Jesus. It's never enough to only grow in doctrinal knowledge. Is this on? It is never enough to grow in doctrinal knowledge. Because our Bible tells us, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, that knowledge alone does what? It puffs us up and makes us proud and arrogant, makes us fat and lazy and sassy.
Right.
Now that does not minimize for one instance the importance of sound doctrine, and that's our foundation, and it must be constantly taught, constantly reviewed, constantly emphasized. We all need sound doctrine. Amen? But sound doctrine and information is not enough. And it's not even God's final primary goal for you and me. It is to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul states it another way in Romans chapter 12. He says, I beseech ye therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And be ye what? Transformed. Do you know that God's primary goal, once you lay the foundation of sound doctrine and you pour it in concrete and you seal it and you never let that change one little bit, that God, that you build upon that a life that is constantly being chiseled into a better image of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's God's goal for you. You have to have this foundation. You have to be built up in this foundation. Anything else you have to do, you do has to be built on that. But there must be more. And Kevin, I need you to come up here because your computer just broke. Oh, there we go. All right. Paul was reaching for a better personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that he wanted to know Him. Now, it's one thing to know about Christ. It's another thing to know the instructions that we find even in His Word. But it's quite another thing to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. Do you know when we go into a restaurant? Well, I've been married for about 37 years. And do you know that I can order for my wife in any restaurant we go to, because I know what she's going to order? Almost every time, don't I? And likewise, she can do it for me. Because we've lived with each other for about 37 years. We know one another. We know what one likes, what one dislikes. We know what one thinks. We know what one wants. And that's a part of what it means to know Christ. To know Him personally through the study of God's Word and through the implementing and the living of His Word and through prayer and through a growth in Him, that we truly know Him. When you really know someone, you know what they think, how they think and how they feel and what pleases them. And God wants that for me and He wants it for you. And Paul was reaching for the pride for this all the time, for a better understanding of this, for a growing knowledge in his daily walk, a closer image of Christ. And this meant prayer and Bible study and service with a humble, yielded heart. And this should be the constant goal of the Berean Bible Society. And for every Christian in this room, have you made this your goal? Have you made this your goal to know the Lord Jesus Christ and seek Him? Paul was reaching forth toward the prize of the high calling of God. Do you know there's nothing wrong with serving Christ out of motives for eternal reward? You can do so out of love. You can do so out of other motives. But you can also do so because you are desirous to have eternal reward in eternity. If a parent motivates their teenager for good grades by offering them a reward, is the parent doing anything wrong? Is the student doing anything wrong if they are seeking to achieve good grades for that prize? No. Both are good things in and of themselves, and so it is in our serving Christ. And we should ask ourselves, what eternal reward will I have based upon the decisions that I'm making here? We can have eternal reward, and the decision is up to us. Whatever time we have left, whether in death or in rapture, like the Apostle Paul, we need to actively and consistently be reaching for the prize of eternal reward and praise of the Lord Jesus Christ and furthering His purpose, His cause. Now, this may mean setting some goals personally in service and faithfulness. And the BBS has set some goals for the future. And so we share these with you now. These are some things that we are working on. A new daily devotional is over half written. That would be sort of the sequel, if you will, to 2 Minutes with the Bible. There's a new packet that will be coming out in the foreseeable future on helping churches with ideas for outreach and how to reach their community for Christ and to grow their churches numerically. We're wanting to encourage a culture of service. DVD Bible classes have already begun to be processed for all ages. An interactive dispensational chart. Phone apps, I believe, have already been done. I think Pastor Kurth or Kevin Sadler mentioned that. Putting sermons on YouTube. Pursuing cable broadcasts for teachings. Gift cards that will be available. Completing the last 2 volumes of the Revelation commentary. And there's a commentary, even in Matthew, Rob mentioned a commentary. I've written a commentary on the book of Matthew that is already done but not yet in print. We encourage you to likewise pray. Prayfully set some spiritual goals and some service goals for Christ. And we also invite you to pray for the BBS. Would you pray for us as a ministry? That the Lord would help us to be used of Him greatly. And Paul was constantly looking for that rapture with an expectation that he would be coming back soon. And he was anticipating it. And so he was trying to work and work and work faithfully until the end. Paul closes this chapter in verse 15 by saying, "Let as many of us as are perfect or mature be thus minded." And if you're not, God will reveal this to you. Every one of us need to have this same mindset that the Apostle Paul did. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, and all of the things I've not yet arrived. He was saying that a Christian is only mature if they are pressing with every muscle, like an athlete, toward the eternal prize of serving Christ more, knowing Christ more, pleasing Him more, furthering His cause. And we end with this. Many, many years ago, Wilma Randolph was not expected to live when she was born. At age 4, she contracted double pneumonia and scarlet fever, leaving her left leg literally paralyzed. But by age 13, she began some rhythmic walking. And she just kept on pressing and kept on pressing and working. And then she could walk. And then she could run. And then she could run like the wind. And in 1960, she won 3 gold medals for the United States against all odds and with small beginnings. She won. Now, the BBS started with small beginnings and Preakness. And the BBS has had some stumbling walks and some gated walks with meager beginnings, but we've just kept on plugging away. And we want to thank you, everyone in this room, for your prayers, for your financial support, for your encouragement. And we ask you to pray for us that we will be able to finish our course with joy and the race that is set before us. Amen? Thank you for your partnership. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray. Our Father, we do pray for the Berean Bible Society with thanksgiving, first of all, for how you have used this ministry. And we pray, Lord, that you would use this ministry and the staff members continued in days ahead. That you use them to the praise of your glory, to the glory of your Son, and that you would help us to make Christ known. And the Word of Christ and the Word of God rightly divided known. And that you would help us to have wisdom and determination and godliness and steadfastness as we press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.